some of this a little esoteric. How many people have worked with Unicode already? Okay. Let's see if I can give you any surprises, or you know, you can give me some. I'm from the College of Charleston. In case you're wondering, yes, we do have a computer science department down there, but it's a wonderful place. Okay, so we talk. This is mostly about Unicode, and Liz, I'll talk a little bit about how we got into it in a project that I'm leading at the college. Common must really had a very ASCII legacy, which I'm sure everybody's aware. You know, ASCII was the only universally recognized encoding system around. Everything else you had. I remember going through this. It was just dizzying, all these different things. And then there was the IBM code pages, which were just horrendous. And you could never mix encodings. But then the world wasn't quite as intermixed as it is today. But again, we look in the 80s in the way we were starting to put Common was together. That all we could do was say, look, let's agree on a subset of ASCII to make everything portable. We'll drop a bunch of ideas that we had about what fonts and attributes and bits and things like that. There was a very fuzzy distinction between types of characters. There was base characters, standard characters, extended characters, but it was all very fuzzy. And there was a very non-portable method for specifying file encodings. And the functions that were defined really are ASCII-based. On the other hand, it was pretty good for its time, because at that time, those of you with gray beards like me, remember how unbelievably complex and confusing this was. It was terrible. So, Lisp was doing one thing. The rest of the world had a different response to this, which is what they should be. We were building Lisp, they were doing other things. The rest of the world decided, it wasn't quite this easy. They decided to come up with a uniform encoding system for every character on the planet. That's pretty good. It took a while, but you know, they were dealing with the hard issues of not just how do you encode everything, but how do you sort things, how do you break lines. What does it mean to be for this character and this character to be equivalent? Now you think that's pretty easy, but it's not. Composing characters, and there's a whole lot of other things. And so what they came up with was the idea of Unicode. At least the name they put on it. I said, great, have a good time. Now it's 20 years later. This is a global, I mean, look around here. There's a global audience even right here. And it's even more knit together. There's a lot of vendor-specific problems or solutions to the character problem. Like how do you do it? Unicode 4, relatively new, has really kind of pulled a lot of things together in what I would think a computationally tractable way. Computer people can look at it and say, oh, I think I can figure out how to do all this stuff. And I'm going to be the person who stands up and says, look, we should just come to one way of handling characters in the standard it's time to do before we keep running on. All of us here would like to see Lisp adopted more, and handling globalized characters is a big part of that. I'm an engineer, I'm not so much a theoretician, but I certainly know we've got to get the handle on characters. It's not going to be easy. Let me talk very briefly about Unicode 4. For a lot of you, this may be interesting to see if any of this is new to you. Characters, it's not just enough to assign a number to a character. You've got characters that are no longer atomic. What? Wait a minute. This isn't just a single... No, it's not. There's a subatomic facet to characters that we have to be careful with. you can have a run of characters being equivalent to some other single character, equivalent in a particular way. Then there's other characters in there that tell you, wait a minute, you were going left to right, you need to start going right to left. Whoop, no, it's going back the other way. Those are characters, they're formatting characters. There's a whole lot of other things that are encoded and you have to pay attention to it. One of the big things out of Unicode is get out of the habit of sorting characters by their number. It simply does not work. It was always kind of fuzzy. Now it just flat out doesn't work. You cannot collate characters by looking at what's now called the code form. And collation is entirely context-dependent. This is something, you know, this is the question. Does O come before, after, or the same as O with an umlaut? Depends. Depends particularly if you're German or Swedish. Same letters, same characters, they collate differently. Because you're German and you're Swedish. Suppose you've got a Lisp system that's querying a database, and you've got people who are logged in from Germany and people logged into it from Sweden, they are going to expect that O with an umlaut is handled the way they think it should be. A query to a database could be very different depending on who's making the query. Okay. Also, characters have got a very rich set of properties. Back in the 80s, there was this, you know, font bit, attributes bit, all that. What it really came down to is properties. Lisp is really good at handling properties, but there are a lot of them that find four characters. There's a digit, there's white space, those are simple ones. Is it decomposable? What direction? Is it mirrored? When you're typing, if you're doing Lisp entirely in Arabic, okay, you start a Lisp with a closed parenthesis. It's that way. It's this way, not this way. Interesting to think about. Okay, so what they've done is, yes, they have assigned a number to every character on the planet, pretty much. There's still a few ones they're working on, but we've gotten well beyond 8 bits. We've gotten beyond 16 bits. We're up to 21 bits that it takes to number all the characters on the planet.
I've heard they've sworn a mighty oath that that's it. Is that true or false?
No, I don't think that they have ever sworn. Philosophically, what they're attempting to do is not cramp the human style. Some of these things are, I mean, this is about human communication. We're incredibly complex people in any of this, okay? We're not computers. We do all these other weird things, you know, like reading different directions and all that sort of stuff. So,
the standard doesn't say one way or the other, that like we reserve the right, you know, we're going to, like, no point to keep going for as long as we deem necessary.
They think that they now have a big buffer. You know, if we ever come across, you know, SETI comes up with things, then, you know, in fact, you might, did this thing just give out?
You gotta reach that effect, then.
Projector on. Or is it to turn it off first?
Even the projector can't handle 21 bits. It'll warm up and we'll get there. So the ASCII range in the encoding is still the same. Okay, 0 to 127 is always the characters that you know and love, or hate, whatever. One of the things that you have now, though, with Unicode, is they have grouped characters into blocks, like Latin supplemental, Devanagari, which is the Hindi fine form of writing, Arabic, number forms, How many people love format? Okay, cool. How many people love to print things out in Roman numerals? Well, guess what? There are real Roman numerals in the character, in the Unicode character set. Okay? And not only that, you can read them. We do. Okay? I can read in a Roman carol and character and it'll work. Okay. Not yet. Ah, amazing. Okay. So, you get all of these. There's the obvious things of particular languages, have in blocks, but you get these other things. Dingbats is a block, for example. One of the things that you find now, as someone said, that these are not atomic entities anymore. Okay, you've got some characters that are made up of a combination of others. Okay, A with an umlaut actually decomposes into two different characters. Two characters are equivalent if, and it only if, they're decomposed, binary forms are identical. So you have two characters. You can't figure it out unless you decompose them and then look at their binary decomposition, see if they're really the same character. Okay? But sometimes characters are really the same, even if they're different. This happens in katakana all the time. There are half-width and full-width characters. They are the same character from a semantic perspective, but they are two different characters.
Code points?
Sorry?
Code points?
They are different code points. Okay, and they... The interesting thing is that there are actually, in Unicode, now, two definitions of equivalence. And you have to say which one you mean. Is it canonical, which is the binary thing? Decompose it, see if it has the same binary representation. Or there's a compatibility version of this that says, look, they may look different, they may have different code points, but they're really the same character. Okay, so we've got to handle this. So we really need to handle this. Collation, as I said, it's context dependent, depending on locales and all that. Unicode actually defines a very clever table-driven mechanism. It was developed by IBM for being able to take apart characters and see how that influences, whether you're taking account of the fact that there's an umlaut in the decomposition or not. Okay, and does it change something? It's very, very, very configurable. The Franz folks in Allegro actually have it as something you can control from Lisp. Okay, they actually adopted that and put it in. However, Unicode also says, look, this is, we're not mandating this. If you can come up with an equivalent system, fine. In fact, Sun did that with Java. Their Java 1.5 supports all of this Unicode, this interesting Unicode stuff. But instead of using the table mechanism, they have a set of rules, which makes it easier for a human to say, okay, this thing comes before this, it comes before this, this is special, it's, They all, they're functionally equivalent, okay? But we can't pick one to go into Lisp, okay, as a portable thing. There's a bidirectional algorithm. There's an actual algorithm specified in Unicode. If you've got arbitrary string of characters, are you printing this character, this string right to left to right? Okay, how it's nested, how you do this. This is very important for Lisp languages. Okay. It impacts the printer. Okay. Characters are now not necessarily printed in memory order. Oops. Okay, well, that's interesting. And as I said, some characters are actually mirrored. So you have to know what you're doing when you're printing out the Lisp. they also have a line break algorithm. Right? Now, how many people have struggled with the, oh my God, it's a line feed. No, it's a carriage return line feed. Oh, no, no, it's a carriage return. It depends on what it is, right? Everybody's run across this. Okay, well, there's actually an algorithm in this that is implemented in Unicode that says, okay, I'll tell you where you can break things and what actually are, there's two things. What's a line break, forced line break, and where are you allowed to break if you want to, if you're formatting text. Uh-huh. Now, things like pretty printer, you just need to pay attention to them if you're really going to do it. If you want to say, okay, this is my ending margin, I just want to get this printed out nicely, I have these rules about where you can and can't break between characters. Okay. So, all of this really implies, if you're saying Unicode, it's not just a matter of saying we handle these characters because we've got their code points. These are pervasive changes to a lot of the components in CommonOS. Okay, so a lot of this came up because I have a bunch of students. Over several years, we're building a new version of CommonOS. We're going to talk about it Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Please come. Okay? It's a lot of fun. You see what we're doing. Yes, we're building it on Java, all that sort of stuff. But it comes from the Capstone Software Engineering course. This is the advertising for Wednesday. But we really got into this and said, okay. Let's start defining character types, because all of our types are actually defined as Java interfaces. We'll get into that. So it was important to us to figure out what's a base character, what's an extended character. And lo and behold, Unicode defines base character. Isn't that cool? They actually have a real clear definition of it. And it says, this looks like a little bit weird, but it can't be composed with a character to its left. So if I were to put up an A and an umlaut, okay, then I in fact can compose these two. Okay? If I had an A and a B, I can't compose A with B. B is a base character. The umlaut is not. Most characters are base characters.
But that's a static property of the character.
It is a static property of the character. so, obviously, standard char is the same. Okay, just the definition of base character is the thing that gets a little bit different. There's also, there are official names for all these characters. Like Latin small letter A. Of course, we have the unofficial names like A. What we did was we said, well, we want to Lispify it because we're Lisp people and we like hyphens and not spaces. So that's in fact what we add to it. The Franz folks, by the way, don't. They do this thing except they use underscores instead of hyphens. Yes, sir?
The reason we did that is because they actually, Unicode does have names with dashes in it, greater than or less than. So we wanted to maintain that. For them, for lifetime viewing.
Good. That is a very good point, because we actually have a couple of those we actually listify the. So yes, thank you. But we also support the full thing. You can do this. And just in a bracket symbol, or you can do this. And of course, it's also the standard thing. So the point is, characters have multiple names. So again, in our system, we have four interfaces. Okay, there's a general type character, and then base character, standard character, extended character. And the indentation tells you the subplasma. And one of the key things that we did was, in the static care interface, one of the things that we do is, hear me on Wednesday on this, about we have a lot of, we've been trying to make it as easy as possible for Lisp programmers to get access to Java code, and Java code, Java programmers to get access to Lisp code, right, just in the way they want to do it. So we actually have got the character values, like for character A, or slash, or all of those other names, are actually public static final members in standard care interface. We do another thing. Since we had to bring in a lot of properties and everything else and look them up, we looked at it and said, wait a minute, we can just load this whole thing. Memory is cheap these days, and XML is easy to work with. So we actually take a bunch of information out of the Unicode database, encode it in XML, and then we load it at startup. About 15,100 characters right now. On my old PowerBook, it takes a quarter to a third of a second, so you don't really notice it at startup. It's pretty negligible when you're doing machines. It also means that all of the characters for us are singletons. You never actually cons up a character. We've already done it for you. So everything from the Java perspective or the Lisp perspective, you can use characters as much as you want because they don't, you're not, it's no garbage. Now, character I/O strings get to be very interesting with this. We have in the Java world, our I/O strings are actually buffered reader and writer classes. For us right now, it's necessary to specify the final encoding. A lot of places have Allegro, ListWorks, have routines to sort of guess what the character, the encoding of the file is that you're going to read. Those are hairy, difficult. We don't have it. You have to specify it, or you take the system default. It's just our limitation right now. We'll figure one out, but the point for common ones is, we'll get to this, but we want to, for file I/O, we want to have a portable way of specifying across all of those what's the file encoding. I did go through look at other common lists and Unicode to see what they did. Any of the SBCL and Bear? Sorry. Arm Bear, right. I did not have a chance to go through and look at what they have. What I did go through Franz, CLIS, ListWorks, and what we do. Okay? And I looked at it from the perspective of these aspects of how they deal with the Unicode characters. It's a long table. Please read the paper. I don't want to go through it. I don't really have the time to go through the whole table. Say there's probably the Franz folks have the best and the most comprehensive support against all of this stuff, but there's some, I think this may help looking at the different systems that we have, and any feedback, please email me. That's, if I got it wrong, I humbly beg your pardon. So, one, by the way, I won't tell you which one it is, you have to read the paper, explicitly sorts characters by code point. Okay. I will point that out. Some of the highlights here, the Allegro and us are explicitly dealing with Unico 4 in naming and collation. Okay, they have collation by the table method. We are on top of Java, so we use a rule-based system. In both worlds. Allegro and Listworks support encoding discovery. That's a very hairy thing to do, and my hats off to you guys doing that. But well done. There's a thing that I'm going to get to. It says that, look, if we want to get Unicode characters into strings, if you're dealing with an encoding that can't handle, you know, UTF-8 and UTF-6, if you're dealing with any of the UTF things that can handle all the characters, that's fine. You can specify all of them. If you're talking about ISO 8859, ISO 8859-1, it's only going to handle a few characters. And we need a way to escape Unicode characters in strings. So this is the one, I think, the one really incompatible thing that I'm going to propose. Okay. Oh, and by the way, everybody's got a different definition of what this is. All right. I'm going to propose to change the standard. That's it. Somebody had to do it. Okay. Here's what I'm going to talk about. Dealing with characters, type, naming, properties, functions, strings, and types, encoding, functions, the reader, how does that change? And how does the printer change and character I.O.? How do we deal with this? Characters. Character types. Basically, I've talked about this. Essentially, the change is to the explicitly defined base character for all common lists as what Unicode says is a base character. To be very specific about it, it is the ones that have a canonical combining class value of 0. I didn't really just want to know that. Well, you will when you go to implement. Because that comes directly out of the Unicode database. Okay. Naming them. Okay. Well, I'm the one up here talking, so I said, okay, this is the way we're doing it, so I'll propose this for this year. Okay. So, and I'm very happy to talk with Bronsby's people about this, okay, particularly listifying it this way. The other interesting thing is, given the characters have multiple names, you probably want to be able to let people specify a preferred one. They're all valid. You know, you may have one of the ASCII characters can have like five different names. But which one would you like to see? So it's a preferred one. Properties. There are lots of properties for characters. You want to make them visible. This is basically a set of functions that let you get to the properties of a character. Okay, what are all the possible properties? And by the way, handy to use getF to get that. That would make some sense. When you see the stuff about surrogate code points, there are two ranges, two blocks. In the Unicode encoding, which is essentially the UTF-16 encoding of characters. Okay. And since there are 21 bits, sometimes you need something that says, wait a minute, this is the first half of the character, and there's a high surrogate and a low surrogate, and one is the first half, the other one is the second half. You have to put both numbers together. And you know what? Every operating system knows how to turn surrogates into the real characters. But these are, from our perspective, these are illegal characters. We're just dealing with the spray of Unico stuff. We don't have to, we shouldn't have to worry about it. Okay. Character comparison. This is where it really comes down to there are two kinds of equivalence. Well, you know, we already had it. Okay, this care equal and care equal. Okay? Well, why don't we simply extend this and say, look, this is, you have to do a canonical decomposition of a character, two characters, to see if they are the same. Comparison done by locality. The rules of that. Care equal, well, you can do a compatibility decomposition. Find a unicode. This is the thing, let's say, care equal, let's say the half width and full width katakana characters are not the same. Care equal would say they are the same.
Is that naturally case sensitive in Unicode? Like that? Or is that a tag on?
This is a tag on because we have to live with this, right?
Does Unicode give any support for case? Does it say these two characters are the same other than no case?
Yeah, one of the properties is, are you upcase, downcase, or title case?
And are you upcase of what?
Is the character that you're looking at,
yeah,
upper or lower case?
So if you wanted to downcase a string,
yes,
would it help you with that? Would it say what the downcase equivalent of the character is?
Yes, you can find that. It comes from the Unicode database. It tells you what are the things that you can do. Yes, sir.
For Arabic, are you saying that the medial and final and initial form are all the same under the type of
Good question, because I don't know enough about Arabic, but I do know that if this is considered compatibility. In fact, I think of the compatibility things, yes, they are. I believe. Who has insomnia here? Anybody? Okay, read the Unicode spec about this.
So you're going to cover locale and how you interaction with these things?
No, I only had 10 pages in the paper. So I begged off.
So whether it be a global variable or something that allows that to happen.
Yeah, but hold that thought. Let me go through the rest of this, and then I'll tell you how I would like to proceed. I have time to move. All right. Changing these things. Some of these things now, it's doing essentially what we want it to do. The definition is a little bit different because it's an actual digit property in the Unicode database. Okay? There's a lot of things that are one, for example. notice that I just tucked in the Roman numerals. Graphic characters. Okay, there are ignorable characters. That doesn't really mean that you can't pay any attention to them. They're simply called ignorable. So if it's not ignorable, it's a graphic character. Get back to names. Okay. And this another thing that says, look, let me compose a new character from a base character and a set of extended characters. And you get back a compatibility composed character. All right, strings, very similar. Again, base string. Base string is the thing that's interesting because it only has base characters, and this actually affects what you can do with a base string. For example, you can always insert a base string into a base character into a base string. You can insert an extended character into a base string as long as the preceding character that this character you're putting in can be composed with the character that's already there. in which case the newly composed character replaces the one.
Doesn't that violate the definition of the standard of what a base string is, what its element type is?
No, because they only have base pairs. And if you try to put an extended character in, it cannot be composed to the against the character to its left.
You shouldn't be able to put an extended character at all.
Sure. I have an A, and I want to insert an umlaut, so I get an A umlaut. That's exactly what would happen.
What do you mean by
instead?
Sorry?
What do you mean by instead?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean by instead?
You mean set that value right there? Something else. The set value takes an index.
Yeah, if I wiped out a character and put an umlaut in there, that umlaut needs to be able to.
Yeah, set value sets a particular index.
Ignore the Unicode for a minute. How do you put an extended char into an array of type with element type base char? How do you put that in there? You can't.
You're certainly changing what set FA
is. Right. So essentially, this is perfectly reasonable for you to do this because you'll end up with a base character.
Couldn't the user do the same thing just by replacing a character there with a composed character?
But maybe what they have is a decomposed list. There's a forum where we can start arguing this. I'm just putting it up here. Alright. The coding, how you want to encode that internally is entirely up to you. That's basically all this is. You just need to support all the functions. Again, string equal, again, has the same problems properties. If you look at, if you want to get in and look at all the composition, we're talking about NFC and NFTC. And these are simply ways for you to get a hold of the decomposition and composition. Reader whenever you say call reach here, you're always going to get a Unicode carrier. That's just one of them. Get rid of the encodings, you have the external ones, make sure that reach here only just gives you back a Unicode carrier. Alright, again, sharp backslash, this and that. Sharp U, sharp U plus. Okay, now that takes either 4 or 6 hex digits, depending whether it's a plus or not, representing the code point. That's because you can put sharp U and 4 hex digits right into a string, and the reader will do the right thing for you. This is an incompatible change, but you're basically putting a read macro into a string. Yeah, I know.
How are you going to read from string a list file, for instance, and print it out on the screen? First time it hits a hash U that's not meant to specify a character in the source, but say part of the definition of the read macro or insert command or something, you'll blow up. Well, why would you want to change the?
Because I don't know a good way to get Unicode characters into a string. That is that I'm actually reading.
Well, you put them in, you can read them in the
edit special characters.
If I have a problem, if I'm reading from something that's, I want to type in a string, and the encoding of the terminal on that is, is 8859-1.
That's
my host.
Terminal encoding problem, that's you. That's
right.
I think you're fixing the wrong place.
That's entirely possible. All I'm doing is throwing this on the wall, and I love the feedback, okay? And I'm actually going to give you a way to give me feedback back. Okay, numbers. Okay, this is interesting because now numbers can come from many different blocks. That's 1, 2, et cetera, from Devanagari, India. Okay? Again, another thing that's just arbitrary is what, just take the numbers from the same block. Okay. As quickly as I can. By the way, there are ratios in there. I think we should support them. Why not? Okay. Printer, Printscape. You have a problem. Okay. okay, putting things out with the stream made, how do you print out something where the stream encoding may not actually support the hearing? Strings, again, you have the same problem. pretty brief, okay. Needs to pay attention to the line breakdown. Okay, format needs to take care of, needs to know about zero, half, and full width characters for how far it's going to cross. Character I.O., okay. I think we should define a close class called encoding. Okay. And they are named for the current IANA recognized encodings, which are numerous. Open takes an external format that's an encoding. Probe file should come back with a second value that says this is the file encoding. So you can find out. Let's see. All right. So basic things: listing the existing coding encodings. So, like I said, it goes all over the system. So, it's a really complex thing. You've got to give me 90 seconds, please. Okay, so, what should we do? I think we should update the standards, and we should always give a name. Okay, so, let's do that, and
that's
of course...
pretty optimistic.
Yes. Okay. That's only 45.
Yeah. Hold on. After that, I have an announcement to make, or two, so.
Be right with me. Let me put this over so you can see what I'm doing. Okay, this being our original thing. Well, here's this piece of code. I need to mess things up. That is a mix of, these are things that I'm going to screw up. This is a mix of Arabic, Hebrew, Latin, and Devanagari. And I just happened to have.
Did you find it hard to read the books of grammar?
Yeah, it's right in the way, you know? Okay. Come on, sis. Come on, man. Do it. Talk to me. There we go. Okay. In case you were wondering what the function actually is.
Ow!
Let me see if I got it to. Honest, this worked. It goes really good. Okay. I have, by the way, no idea what the Arabic and Hebrew and Devanagari characters mean. I just put them in. Thank you.
Since you're talking about making a proposal, one of the issues that Unicode introduces is case, that came up before.
Yes.
And the ANSI panel has specified that every character has to have an operative case, but that's not true in Unicode. You can have characters. It's not a one-to-one mapping between uppercase and lowercase, especially when you're title case in there. So I'm wondering if you had thought about that as well.
Title case is the thing that really bugs me. I never quite understand it.
That's because characters are composed.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what I would like to do. Okay, let me bring this back up. There's a forum. I would love to get people to start coming to this thing, and let's have a discussion. I'll host it. I'll put this stuff up here. Okay? And I would love to work with you folks on this. Sir.
I don't know the address of the town, but the status of non-English or non-Western symbols in turning things like green and yellow.
Well, that's what I was just doing.
No, not just in. Okay.
Yeah.
So not just in spring.
No, it's not just in strings. You basically, there's a clear way to define the things in digits, the things that are letters. Those tend to go directly into the reader. Okay. Obviously, our reader knows how to handle this in terms of things. Okay. There is a little bit of work you got to do with the reader. Okay, what are all the attributes of these things? But, and you can have numbers that are all in Devanagari or in Arabic. By the way, Arabic numbers are not the same as Latin numbers. They are different. Yes?
You were all back up.
Yep.
Is the URL in the paper?
Sorry?
Is the URL in the paper?
No, it's not, because I did not have this up at the time I had to submit it.
This may sound like a really ignorant question. So in regular Java, can you actually write in Unicode characters?
Yes. Yes. It works just fine. Okay.
I can take over. Thank you very much.